We're still on the strange doctrine series, all right? So yes, when I talk about strange doctrines, what I'm saying is there are people, yes, even saved Christians, good Christian people, that are wrong on several subjects. And you know, when I say that, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm this prideful, arrogant, oh, you just know you're always right, Pastor Kevin. No, I've been wrong on things. And when you're wrong on things and you get shown the truth in light of God's word, then you need to change. You know, there's no point of being stubborn and you know, worried about what people might think about you. You know, all that matters is that we please God. All that matters is that we become, you know, better educated and equipped with the knowledge that the Bible tells us. And so there's nothing wrong with having believed something incorrectly and then being shown the Bible, then changing your mind. Well, no, I'm just going to go with the Bible says. Amen. That's the journey. That's the Christian journey. We're constantly learning, aren't we? We're constantly growing. We're constantly being more Christ-like. And it's important to get right on doctrines, because then we can truly prepare ourselves and understand and you know, it'll please God for us to study and show ourselves approved, okay? A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, as it were, in 1 Timothy, as it is quoted there in 1 Timothy. So we are continuing, like I said, the strange doctrine series. And I had to cut this sermon in half, okay? So I was going to preach about the pre-tribulation rapture and the tribulation period. But what I want to focus on today is the tribulation period alone. We'll touch on the rapture maybe next week, Lord willing, okay? But as you know, there are many people in many independent fundamental Baptist churches that believe that the rapture will take place before the Great Tribulation, okay? I mean, that has been taught extensively through Bible colleges, pastors getting taught this, and then they're repeating that, they're regurgitating what they've learned and repeating that from the Bible. But any honest pastor, if you were to just ask them, Pastor, does the Bible ever teach that the rapture takes place before the tribulation? Can you show me a Bible verse that just clearly says the rapture takes place before the tribulation? If they're honest, they're going to have to say, no, that's not what it's... The Bible doesn't say that, okay? What they will end up saying, if they're honest, they'll say something like, well, the Bible doesn't explicitly teach that, but it's implied. In other words, it's what God intends for us to understand. It's what, you know, the feelings that we get in the Bible is that it's pre-tribulation. But, you know, and they'll teach it as doctrine. Now, this is really sad, because there are many Christians that would break fellowship with other Christians based on the timing of the rapture. And brethren, you know what? I don't care what you believe the timing of the rapture is. You know, if you're pre-tribulational, you know what? I'm happy to be your friend. So long as you're saved, praise God. You know, I know God can use you in a mighty way. You know, I'm not seeking to break fellowship with people just because they believe something slightly differently. I do believe they're wrong, obviously, on the topic. But the position of our church is the rapture takes place after the tribulation, but before God pours out his wrath. And so I'm going to be focusing on the tribulation today. Now, there are two main reasons why people believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. So if it's not found in the Bible, why do they believe it? Well, number one, they believe it because they believe the Jews, Christ rejecting, you know, false religion, you know, Jews in the Middle East, they believe they're God's special chosen people. And so they believe that God still has a plan for them. And so God will have to, you know, remove the New Testament believers in order for him to start working with those Jews so they can eventually become saved. Something along those lines, okay? Now, I'm not going to preach about that all over again. I've preached not long ago on a sermon. You can go back and listen to it. It was called The Jews, God's Chosen People. I recommend you go back and watch that if you want the explanation of that position. But the second reason, and that, of course, the reason they believe that is because it's due to the interpretive system known as dispensationalism. Okay, dispensationalism. And just last week, I believe it was, I preached on dispensationalism. So it's a sermon called again on this channel called Dispensationalism versus the Dispensation of God. If you want my teaching on that, you can go back and listen to that sermon. I don't want to regurgitate all the same things that I've already covered in the past. Okay, so that's the main reason. They believe God has a special program with Christ rejecting Jews that believe in a false religion. Okay. The second reason they believe that the rapture takes place before the Great Tribulation is simply because they do not understand the Great Tribulation period. That's it. They don't understand what it is. And so my aim tonight is to basically teach you what the tribulation is, how long it is, and why they have a different interpretation than what the Bible teaches. Okay? So number one, they believe that the Great Tribulation is a seven-year period. And you'll say, Pastor Kevin, I know the Bible speaks of a seven-year period. Yes, it does, okay? But the whole thing is not the Great Tribulation. But pre-tribbers, they believe the entire thing is God's tribulation. Not only that, They also confuse the tribulation with God's wrath. Okay? They correctly conclude that God will not pour out his wrath on the Christians. Okay? God will not pour out his wrath on his children. They are correct. But what they don't do is they don't separate God's wrath from the tribulation, and that's what I'm going to be focusing on tonight. I'm going to teach you that. Okay? But because they conflate these things, they confuse these things, they think the entire tribulation of 7 years, which they call, they believe the entire thing is God's wrath as well. Okay? And so that's why they believe, rightly so, that God will take his children away before he pours out his wrath. Okay? So the title for the sermon tonight is Misunderstandings of the Great Tribulation. Misunderstandings of the Great Tribulation. Now, we had Matthias read Daniel chapter 9, so let's go back there. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 20. Daniel 9, 20. It says, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." Now, this is something you need to understand. So Gabriel is going to teach Daniel about some prophetic events, about future events. In order to understand future events, you need skill and understanding. Okay? It is not an easy topic, okay, to grasp. I understand that. It's not super easy, okay? This is why I would not break fellowship with Christians that have different positions on the timing of the rapture. Because you need the skill and understanding. And unfortunately, many people don't use their own skill. They don't go and study the Bible for themselves, but they regurgitate things that they've heard from a course, from a Bible college, but they themselves have not done the skillful study. Okay? And again, this is why I just do not break fellowship over this, because it requires effort. Okay? It's the meaty part of God's word. Now let's keep going. In verse number 23, it says, "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Now, verse number 24 is what we're going to focus on. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So if we go back to the time of Daniel, you may remember that Daniel is in Babylon. He's been taken as a captive into Babylon, okay? So all these events, these 70 weeks which are determined upon the people of Daniel, okay, is future for him. It's all prophetic from the time that Daniel wrote his book, all right? Now, when we look at the 70 weeks there, obviously when we think about a week, we think about what? 7 days, okay? Now, a week can also be a group of any sevens. So, you know, and I don't have time to go through all of this, but, you know, generally, it's generally understood and agreed that the 70 weeks are not 70 weeks of days, but 70 weeks of years. And this makes perfect sense because it lines up with the coming of Jesus Christ, okay? Now, let's understand how long this prophecy is for. So if the prophecy is for 70 weeks, okay, and we know that each week has 7 years, then we know how long this prophecy is going to go for, okay? So it's simple. 70 weeks times 7 years equals how many years? 490 years. This is a prophecy for 490 years into the future from Daniel's position in the past, okay? Now let's keep going. It says in verse number 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem," let me just stop there. Remember, he's in Babylonian captivity. You may remember we're going through Jeremiah with the church, and we know that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by fire by the Babylonians. Okay, so it said there, "From the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem." So Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt. We know that at the end of 70 years, the Jews came back onto the land. and they rebuilt Jerusalem, okay? But there was a commandment that went forth to rebuild Jerusalem. So that's a time period that you need to think about, from the commandment to the building of Jerusalem to the streets being restored or the walls being built up. And then it says, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Now, let me just stop there for a moment. Who's Messiah the Prince? Well, Messiah, of course, is Christ. Christ is the translation of the word Messiah, Jesus Christ. So we know this is about Christ's first coming on this earth. Now, it says that it shall be 7 years. 7 weeks. 7 weeks. Okay, so let's work that out. So if we got 7 weeks and we multiply that by 7 years, how many years have we got? 7 times 7? 49 years. Okay, so what am I saying? I'm saying from the time the commandment went forth to rebuild Jerusalem to the time that it will be completed, it will take 49 years to get Jerusalem built back up, the walls restored, all of that. Okay, but now we're talking about Messiah as well. Let's keep going. We're talking about Jesus Christ. And then it says, and 70 weeks. So a score is 20. So if you've got 70, that's 3 times 20. That's 60 and 2 weeks. Well, now we've got 62 weeks. Okay, what is this about? Let's keep going. And 70 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Okay? So the rebuilding of Jerusalem is the building of the walls and the streets. We know that 7 times 7 years, 49 years. But from that time when the walls are complete and Jerusalem is rebuilt, we now have the 70 weeks, which is 62 weeks. Okay? 62 weeks from the time Jerusalem is built to the time that we have Messiah come on the scene. Okay? Say, what is that? Well, let's work it out. 62 weeks times 7 years is 434 years. So from the time that Jerusalem is complete, built, the walls done, to the time Messiah comes, in fact, it's the time of his crucifixion, we'll have a look at it soon, is going to be 434 years. Okay? Now let's keep going. Verse number 26. And after 70 weeks, so after that period, what happens? Shall Messiah be cut off? Okay, so Messiah is going to be cut off. In other words, the Bible uses this word being cut off as being put to death. So we know Christ died on the cross. So it's going to be 434 years from the time Jerusalem is rebuilt to the time Christ is cut off. Okay, he's put to death. Then it says, but not for himself. Christ did not die for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now we have another prince. This is not Messiah the prince. This is another prince. Who's this prince? Well, it says the prince shall come, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So this is a prince that comes, another person of authority. And if you know about the end times, this is about the Antichrist. Okay. So now we're going from, you know, all the way from Christ's crucifixion to a still a future event to come for us, which is the coming of the Antichrist. Okay. And then it says, and the end thereof shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. All right, so let's work this out. Remember we had the 49 years from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem to the time it would be rebuilt. And then we have 434 years from that time to the time that Christ would die on the cross. So if you go 434 years plus 49 years, you've got 483 years. 483 years. Now, how long was this prophecy for initially? Well, you may remember it was for 490 years. So if you go 490, take away 483, you're left with 7 years. Or, in other words, as this prophecy has foretold, you're left with 1 week. Okay? So you've got 69 weeks of this prophecy that took place in our past up to the time when Christ was crucified. And then we have this 1 week left. And this final week has to do with this final prince, this Antichrist, that will come. And, well, you know, we won't go into all the Antichrist right now, but eventually he's going to come, you know, exalt himself to be God and persecute the people of God. Okay, now let's keep going there in the chapter, verse number 27. So as I said, we're left with 7 years, we're left with 1 week. Okay, verse number 27 says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. There's the week, there's the final week, okay. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right. So, we have a still, in the future, we still have a 1 week period left of this prophecy. And as I said, 1 week is 7 years. So, is there a future time of 7 years to come? Absolutely. We all agree on that, okay? When you look at this, the Bible is true. So what I want to do, I'm going to use this pulpit as my illustration. I think for you guys, because you're watching me the other way, this would make sense. So let's say this is the beginning of the 7 years, this side of the pulpit, and this side of the pulpit is the end of the 7 years. This whole width of the pulpit represents 7 years, okay? That seven-year period still to come. Now, I want you to go to Matthew 24 now. Please go to Matthew 24. And while you're turning to Matthew 24, I just want to remind you that we still have that 1 week period left. And the Bible said in Daniel 9, 27, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So something happens in the midst of the week. What does midst mean? It means in the middle of the week, okay? So we've got a seven-year period. What's the middle of 7 years? What's half of 7 years? 3.5 years, amen? Okay, so I'm going to use this stapler. That's about middle. That stapler just represents the midpoints of that seven-year period. This is when the Antichrist causes the oblation to cease, okay? And then we're going to read about Christ speaking about this event in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. So let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15. Matthew 24. And verse number 15, Jesus, these are the words of Christ. He says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that's what we just read about, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, remember we read from the book of Daniel, stand in the holy place, then Christ says these words, whoso readeth, let him understand. Christ wants us to understand the book of Daniel, okay? But we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to understand the book of Daniel. Okay, Christ says, when this takes place, we're going to learn about that in the book of Daniel. When do we learn that it takes place? In the midst of the week. So we have 3.5 years. We have the first 3.5 years, and then we have the next 3.5 years that makes up the 7 year period. All right. Now, let's keep going. What takes place at this point, this abomination of desolation? Now, let me just quickly, if you know your prophecy, you know this is true. At the midpoint, the Antichrist will set up an idol, and he's going to bring in the mark of the beast. He's going to command people to take the mark of the beast and to worship him and worship Satan. This takes place at the midst of the week, okay? Now, obviously, God's people are not going to take the mark of the beast, okay? So this is where we learn about the Antichrist persecuting God's people, all right? So this is why Christ says that in verse number 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. He says, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now look at verse number 21. For then, what are you talking about? The midst of the week. For then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So when does great tribulation begin? It says, for then shall be great tribulation. Okay? So if this is the midpoint, when does the great tribulation begin? Doesn't it begin then? For then shall be great tribulation at the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist raises himself up and causes all to worship him? Of course that's what it means. So if this is great tribulation from here, okay, from the midpoint onwards, then can we say that the first 3.5 years was the great tribulation? No, because Christ is telling us the exact timing of the great tribulation, okay? And again, this just proves to you immediately, according to Christ's words, that the entire 7 year period is not the great tribulation. The great tribulation begins at the midst of the week, okay? Now, I've heard it said, you know, well, actually, before I go there, let's keep reading. Let's go to verse number, let me just put it this way. So people have said to me, well, okay, yeah, that's the great tribulation, but before that, we can call that the tribulation as well, because there's a lot of trouble in the world. And yes, in a way, they're correct. In a way, there is great trouble in the world before that, okay? And I guess you could say it's tribulation, but here's the thing, the Bible never calls it the tribulation. Okay, this is the point where the Bible, where Jesus Christ calls it the tribulation or the great tribulation. Now let's keep going there. Look at verse number 22. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So are these short days, the days of great tribulation, are they shortened? Yes, they're shortened. Okay. In other words, it's not going to continue all the way to the end of the 7 years. Okay. Those days are shortened. All right. Now, what about this period of time before the great tribulation? What does Jesus call this time, the first 3.5 years that leads up to the midst of the week? Well, you don't have to go too far. Just stay there in Matthew 24. Let's backtrack a little bit. And let's start in verse number 3. Matthew 24 and verse number 3. Matthew 24 and verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So is what, you know, they're asking questions about Christ's coming, about the end of the world. Do you believe Christ is going to answer that question? Of course he will. Okay. And then it says in verse number 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Take heed. Listen. Pay attention. Why? Because there are many people deceiving God's people about the end times. Jesus Christ says, look, take heed. Pay attention to my words. Now, this is what frustrates me. I don't have time to go for this today. We're going to save it for the time of the rapture, the sermon on the rapture. But I've had so many people say to me, well, Matthew 24, that's not for us. Jesus Christ is telling us, take heed. Pay attention. Now, if someone's telling me, oh, Matthew 24 is not for us, you don't need to read it, it's not about us. Hey, that sounds like deception to me. Hey, I want to hear what Christ has to say so I'm not deceived. Let's keep going. It says there, verse number 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For ye shall hear of wars." So what do we have at the beginning? "Wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." So God, you know, Jesus Christ is telling us all the things that's going to take place before the midst of the week. All right. And then he says this in verse number 8. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." All these what things? Well, nation against nation, the wars, kingdom against kingdom, the famines, the pestilences, the earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So what does Christ call the first 3.5 years of this 7-year period? The beginning of sorrows. Okay. So yeah, you know what? There is a lot of trouble. There's a lot of sorrow at this point in time. Okay. And I haven't got time to go through all that. We're just focused on the entire 7-year period. But you see what Christ calls it? The beginning of sorrows. Then we have the midst of the week, the abomination of desolation. Then we have great tribulation. The Bible could not be clearer on this topic, okay? And so when someone's telling you, well, the entire thing's the Great Tribulation, look, they're deceiving you. They're lying to you, okay? Or you know what? They're just ignorant. And, you know, they have good motives and they're just ignorant. And, you know, I've been ignorant on this topic in the past, okay? So we know that the Great Tribulation begins after this event. Now, what takes place, if we keep going there from the beginning of sorrows, I want to prove to you that this is when the Antichrist starts persecuting God's people. Because if we keep reading, look at verse number 9. So verse number 8 said, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." Verse number 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations because you're Jews." Is that what it says there? "Shall be hated for all nations because you are of the nation of Israel." You see, those that say Matthew 24 is about the Jews, you know, Christ rejecting Jews. Don't you know, Pastor Kevin, this is not for us. Hey, who is it for then? "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." What is the name? Jesus Christ. That is his name. People are going to hate you for believing on Jesus, for having the name of Jesus. Don't we go by the name of Christian? Don't we go after the name of Christ, after his title? Hey, we're known as Christ, you know, Christ followers. We're Christians. People are going to hate us in the end times, okay, at the great tribulation time, for simply being a Christian, for simply preaching the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, the Jews do not proclaim Jesus. They hate Jesus. They don't call themselves Christians. They're not going to be persecuted for the name of Christ. Okay, the only people that are going to be persecuted for the name of Christ are the Christians. Don't tell me this is about Christ rejecting Jews. No, this is about people that believe on Jesus Christ. So this proves to us, we have the beginning of sorrows, then we have the midst of the week, and that brings forth great tribulation, great persecution, great hatred for God's people, for those that believe on Jesus Christ. All right, can you please now stay there in Matthew 24, but go to verse number 29. Drop down to verse number 29. Because when we talk about this period of tribulation, or this period of you know, from the midst of the week, there are other things that we learn about in this event, okay? It says in Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. When does the tribulation begin? Right here, okay? So what happens after the tribulation? Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, I've got one of my kids to do this. I hope you guys can see it on the camera. You've got the sun, moon, and stars there. Okay, and I just did it for the illustration. So we know the tribulation begins after the midpoint, and we know after the tribulation, sometime after this, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars fall from heaven. So we're going to put it here. Now, I'm going to put it there just for now. Okay, we know it's after. But the question is, how much after, right? Is it like right here, right at the end of the 7 years? Is that the after? Or is it somewhere after, or somewhere between, I should say, the end of the 7 years from the midst of the 7 years? So I'll just put it there for now, okay? So what happens after, let me just read verse number 29 again. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they, look at this, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Brethren, when does Jesus Christ come back? When the sun and moon darkened, amen? Okay, when this happens, then we have Christ come in all his glory. Hey, this makes a lot of sense. For God to blank out the celestial bodies, the sun going dark, the moon going dark, the stars going dark, okay? And you can't see. There's nothing to... The whole world has gone dark. And then what brightens up the place? The coming of Jesus Christ in power and great glory. Verse number 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba! And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Praise God. Okay, so this is very clear. Midst of the week begins the Great Tribulation, and the Great Tribulation ends when the sun and moon and are darkened and the stars fall from heaven. Okay, now I do believe the stars falling from heaven is a meteor shower. The reason I say this is because later on in the book of Revelation, we still have the stars in place. Okay, it's not like they all just disappeared or something like that. Okay, now let's keep going. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 9. Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 9. So what I want you to remember is that Christ's coming is after, straight after, the sun and moon are darkened. Brethren, this is going to be an exciting time. If we're the people that live, if we're that generation that lives up to this point in time, okay, when everything goes dark, all right, I mean, that's going to be pretty spooky, right? But we're going to be excited. We're going to be like, hey, this is the time, all right? Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We know that Christ will soon appear. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 9. So we know the book of Revelation, of course, is a very prophetic book about the future events. And I want to show you just how consistent the book of Revelation is with what we just saw in Matthew 24. Okay? But Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 9, the Bible reads, actually, before I read that, you should know that in the book of Revelation, we have seven seals, okay, that Christ opens up. The Bible then speaks about seven trumpets and seven vials, okay? Now, we're fast forwarding to the fifth seal being opened by Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9, it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, and by the way, seals number 1 to 4 all take place at the beginning of sorrows. You'll soon see this. It says there in the fifth seal, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Why were they slain? Why were they killed? For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Okay? So we have believers being killed for the word of God, and we know that Christ is the word of God. Remember, we saw in Matthew 24 that people will be killed, God's people will be killed for the name of Christ. Okay? And so what do we start in seal number five? We see that those that believe on God's word, that they're going to be put to death. Okay, this lines up with the Great Tribulation, where God's people are being persecuted in those end times. Let's keep going, verse number 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" So they're asking God, when are you going to avenge us? So does that mean God has started his vengeance already? Has God started pouring out his wrath before? No. If they're asking the question, how long? When is it going to happen, Lord? It means it has not yet happened. God has not started pouring out his wrath on this wicked world yet. In other words, the beginning of sorrows is not the wrath of God. The great tribulation is not the wrath of God. Okay? Let's keep going. Verse number 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. So there's a little season. Remember, the days shall be shortened. It's just a little season. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So there are still other believers that are going to be put to death, okay, during that time. Now look at verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. So what takes place at the sixth seal? And lo, there was a great earthquake. Look at this. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Is the timing right here? Absolutely. Okay? God's people being killed, the great tribulation, then the sun and the moon, okay, going dark. All right? Let's keep going. It says there in verse, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, verse number 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. So the heavens, they open up, okay? And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Why would these men hide themselves? I'll tell you why. Because we found in Matthew 24, Christ is coming in the clouds. Okay, these are the same people that have taken the mark of the beast, the same people that have followed after the Antichrist, the same people that have rejected Jesus Christ. Of course they're going to hide from Christ. Okay, can you prove it, Pastor Kevin? Let's keep going there. Verse number 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him, the face of who? That sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Brethren, who is the Lamb? Of course it's Jesus Christ. These great men see Christ. When the heavens are rolled like a scroll, they see Jesus Christ and they hide themselves. And what are they hiding from? They're hiding from the wrath of the Lamb. See, now it's time for God to pour out his wrath. God did not pour out his wrath during the beginning of sorrows. God does not pour out his wrath during the great tribulation. That is tribulation against the saints. That is this wicked world persecuting God's people. Then God has enough. He finally answers the prayers of the believers that died during this period. When is he going to avenge them? Now he's going to avenge them. Now he's going to pour out his wrath. Now, after the sun and moon are darkened, after Christ comes in the clouds, now it's time for God's wrath to be poured. Let's keep going. Verse number 17. For the great day of his wrath is come. You know what that means? That means it wasn't before. It did not come before. Now it is come. Okay? And who shall be able to stand? Praise God for the consistency of God's word. Okay, yes, it requires a bit of study. It requires a bit of skill and understanding. But you know what? If we just come with an honest heart, we come before God's word, this seven-year period is not complex. The whole 7 years is not the great tribulation. Again, 3.5 years, the beginning of sorrows, the midst of the week, the Antichrist proclaims to be God, mark of the beast, all of that, starts persecuting God's people for a little season. Okay, those days shall be shortened. Then we have the sun and moon being darkened, we have the coming of Christ, and then those that rejected Christ are fearful, running away, and God begins to pour out his wrath. Okay, we still have the trumpets and the vial judgments to come. Those trumpets and vials, the seven trumpets, seven vials, that is the wrath of God, okay, upon this wicked world. Now, can you please go to the next chapter in Revelation, Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9. So we've seen the six seals, okay? We're not going to look at the seventh seal right now, okay? Just for the sake of time. But let's go to Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. it reads, after this, so after the sun and moon are dark, and after what we just saw, right? I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. So when Christ comes, and his angels gather the believers, all this great multitude are going to appear before God's throne. Okay, of every, all nations, all kindreds, all tongues, all people that have believed on Jesus Christ are going to appear. Hey, if this doesn't sound like the rapture to you, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, God coming back and giving us our new resurrected bodies. Not just those that were there during that great tribulation, but those that have gone before. We know that the dead will rise first. Okay, but let's keep going. It says there in verse number 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels ran about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? So we have this great multitude appears in heaven. The question gets asked to John, hey, and whence came they? From where? Where do they come from? Meaning they weren't there before. They just appeared now. Where do they come from? Well, if this is all correct, they came from a certain time. Okay, let's keep going. It says there, verse number 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He goes to the elder, why are you asking me? You know more than I do. You know. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Okay. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Okay. So this is definitely the rapture. Okay. These came out of great tribulation. Why? Because the great tribulation just took place. That little season of great tribulation, those days that shall be shortened. Then the sun and moon are darkened, Christ comes in the clouds, he takes his believers before the throne of God. Where do they come from? From great tribulation. Okay? The Bible is super consistent. Okay? Again, it requires a bit of effort. Amen. It does. Okay? But hey, it's better to have a Bible that's not that easy, right? It's a joyous thing to study God's Word. It's a joyous thing to learn great truths. You know, putting the effort in and mining for gold and the precious, you know, stones from God's Word. The knowledge of God's Word is beautiful. Now, please go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 6. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 6. In Revelation chapter 12, we have a retelling of all these events. Okay, it starts all over again. And the proof of this is it begins with this woman, this symbolic woman, and then we have the birth of Jesus Christ. And we know that Christ was born already in Bethlehem in the past. Okay, so it's a retelling. It's gone back, retells all the events again. And I want you to just focus on a few verses here. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, this is important for us to remember about the end times, okay? So we have 1,260. Again, what is a score? 20. So 60, okay? So if you were to work that out, it's 1,260 days. Say, so why are you bringing that up, Pastor Kevin? Because on the Jewish calendar, you know, unlike our calendar, their months, they all have 30 days, okay? Because it's a lunar calendar. Our calendar is a solar calendar. They have a lunar calendar, and they've got 30 days, okay, in their calendar. So if you take 1,260 days, divide that by 30 days, so you can get how many months, then the answer to that is 42 months. Say, what is 42 months? That's 3.5 years. So we have 3.5 years, 42 months from the time, from the, this final week that's left, it starts, okay? You have 42 months that leads us right to the midpoint, 3.5 years, okay? Again, the consistency of the Bible, it doesn't change. But let's keep going. Verse number 7. So what takes place after 3.5 years, or when we get to that 3.5 year period? It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So what happens? 3.5 years, at the midpoint, there's a war in heaven. Michael the archangel and his angels fight against the devil, and the devil's cast onto the earth. I don't have time to explain all this, but the Bible tells us that the Antichrist is given power by the dragon. Okay, now this makes a lot of sense for the devil to come here. What takes place after the midpoint? Well, we saw that it's the Great Tribulation. It's the persecution of God's people. Amen. So let's drop down to verse number 17, please. Verse number 17, Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Oh, who's the remnant of her seed? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So at this midpoint, what takes place? The dragon goes, makes war against the remnant of her seed. Who are the remnant? Those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have believed on Christ. We have called upon the name of the Lord. We have believed on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Not the Christ rejecting Jews. Again, the dragon, the devil, makes war against believers. Okay? If you have the testimony of Christ, again, this makes perfect sense. The Great Tribulation begins here, where the Antichrist, through the power of the devil, starts making war and persecuting Great Tribulation against the people of God. Again, we have beautiful consistency in the Bible. Now, the question is, can we determine the length of the Great Tribulation? Okay, we know the entire that final week is 7 years, but can we determine the time of the little season? Can we determine the time of the days that shall be shortened? Yes, we can to some extent, okay? Now, let me explain all of that to you, okay? So let's go back to Daniel. Remember, Daniel required study, requires skill, it requires understanding. So let's go to Daniel chapter 12, please. Go to Daniel chapter 12 and look at verse number 11. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 11. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 11. Now remember, this period is known as the abomination of desolation, as said by Jesus Christ. Well, look at Daniel 12, 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, that's the idol that the Antichrist sets up to be worshipped, there shall be 1,290 days. Okay, so 1,290 days. From that time, from the midst of the week onward to the end of that 7 year period, it's 1,290 days. We're talking about the second half here. 1,290 days. All right, as I told you, there's 30 days in the Jewish calendar. 30 days per month in the Jewish calendar. So we take the 1,290 days, okay, that is all of this. We divide that by 30, and we're left with not 42 months, which is, you know, 3.5 years, but we're left with 43 months. Okay, so there's an extra month, 43 months. It's still 3.5 years, okay? Now you say, well, why do we have this extra month? So we definitely have 42 months here, and now the second half has 43 months. Say, why is that? That's not exactly 7 years. Well, it is exactly 7 years, actually, okay? Now, this is the issue. We have in our calendar, we have 31 days in some months, and then we have 30 days other months, and then we have February, which is, you know. Now, the reason we have February with 28 days, and then we have the leap year where we add the extra day, 29 days, is because you cannot exactly, you cannot have the exact days per year, you know, all the time, because the rotation of the earth around the sun is not exactly measured in days like that. There's always a little bit off. And that's why we have the leap year, to make adjustments. So that way our summers remain summers. Our winters remain winters. If we don't make those adjustments every now and again, you know, every few years, eventually our winters are going to be hot, okay? And our summers are going to be cold. So to adjust for the seasons, we need to make that adjustment with our leap years that we have, where we add an extra day in February. Now, consider the Jewish calendar. They've only got 30 days per month. So there are several days in comparison to our calendar that they're missing every year. Okay, so they've got less days per year than what we generally have. Okay, so they're going to have to make adjustments as well to their calendar. Okay, and so what the Jews do every, you know, it's not exact. You know, it could be every 3-4 years, something like that. They have to have their own leap year. Okay, but instead of adding a day like we do in February, they add an entire month. Okay, they have an entire month to make up for that time. So again, their winters remain winters and their summers remain summers. Okay, and so this is why we have that extra month, because sometime in, during that 7 years, they have to add a month to their calendar. Okay, but it's still, you know, 7 years. Okay, I hope that makes sense. If you don't believe me, just Google it. Just type in Jewish calendar, leap year. It'll explain it to you. And you'll learn that, yes, every now and again, every few years, okay, they have to add an extra month, which is why we have the 43 months. Okay. All right. Now, let's keep going. Verse number 12. Daniel 12, verse number 12. These are interesting words. It says, blessed is he that waiteth. So there's a blessing for those that wait. Now, what period are we talking about? We're talking about, again, that 43-month period, okay? There's a blessing to those that wait. Now, we know that the blessing cannot be the pouring out of God's wrath. That's not a lot of blessings, is it, to face God's wrath? But there's a blessing to those that wait, okay? Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days, okay? And cometh to the 5 and 30 days, okay? So let's think about that. So you've got 1,335 days. All right. So let's think about that. So the first, we realize that the first half, of course, is 42 months, and that worked out to be 1,260 years, okay? But there's a blessing that waits, not 1,260 years, but there's a blessing that wait for those that wait, you know, days. But there's a blessing to those that wait the 1,335 days. Okay, so we know that the midpoint is 1,260 days. Oh boy, I hope I'm getting this right. Okay, 1,260 days, but there's a blessing at 1,335 days. So all you have to do is subtract 1,335 and subtract 1,260 there, and you're left with 75 days. Okay, 75 days. Now, in comparison to 7 years, wouldn't you say that's a little season? In comparison to 7 years, wouldn't you say those days have been shortened? Okay, so what we see in the book of Daniel, this great tribulation period, there's a blessing to those that wait. You know what that blessing is? The sun and moon being darkened, Christ coming and taking us to heaven. Praise God. So from the time the Antichrist starts persecuting God's people, the great tribulation is only set in the book of Daniel for 75 days, not 7 years. You're not going to find anywhere in the Bible that calls the entire 7 years the Great Tribulation. It is 75 days, a little season. All right. Now, I also believe, you know, and, you know, if you disagree with me, that's fine, but I also believe it's going to be shorter than 75. You know, I believe the book of Daniel sets 75 days, but then when Christ speaks about it in Matthew 24, remember he said that those days shall be shortened. When he said those days, he's talking about the Great Tribulation days. Okay, those days shall be shortened. Now, Christ, of course, he is the Word of God. He is the author of the Bible. He is God. Okay, and so Christ would know that the book of Daniel says 75 days. But if he says those days shall be shortened, hey, the Great Tribulation may very well be shorter than those 75 days. Okay, so I'm not here telling you exactly how long it is, but I'm telling you that the book of Daniel has set 75 days as a maximum period for the Great Tribulation. All right, so I hope that makes a lot of sense. So this is why we cannot put the sun and moon being darkened right at the end, because we know we've got, not 75 days, we know that we've got 43 months. Okay, another 3.5 years, as it were. No, it's shortened. Okay, it's a short period. It's a little season, that Great Tribulation period. Okay, so what is the position of this church about the rapture? Now, we're going to get to the rapture next week, okay? But we believe the rapture is after the tribulation, so we're post-tribulation, but pre-wrath, before God pours out his wrath. And I believe the Bible is so consistent. You know, you can look at several passages, and I'm going to prove this to you next week, okay? But let's talk about some arguments. So let's just conclude with some arguments that I've heard people say. They'll say, well, and if you can, please turn to Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30, please. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. I'm sure you've all heard it. They'll say, well, this entire seven-year period, this entire Great Tribulation, as they call it, that is the time of Jacob's trouble. And they'll say, are you Jacob? Well, if you listen to my sermon about the Jews, God's chosen people, yes, I am. Okay, yes, I am. But let's have a look at that passage. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 6. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 6. It says, ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. And then I say, look at verse number 7. Alas, for that day is great. It's like, well, it's great tribulation. So that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. See, it's for the Jews. It's for Christ rejecting Jews, right? But he shall be saved out of it, it says. Now, I don't know where they get a day. Okay, it says there, and that, I would say, for that day is great. How do they turn a day into 7 years, number one? Okay. Number two, how do they go to Jeremiah, okay, and teach that this is about the end times? Listen, it's not about the end times. You know, we saw that this is associated with the travail of a woman, okay? Now, if you read the book of Jeremiah, four other times before Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah speaks about the travail of a woman. And every single time, including this time, it's about the Babylonian captivity. It's about the Babylonians coming and destroying Judah, destroying Jerusalem, burning down the house of God, burning down the city. That is the day of Jacob's trouble. And, you know, if you have some doubts about that, I didn't preach about this too long ago. Just go back to my Jeremiah series, Jeremiah chapter 30, and I proved that several ways, that this is not about some future events. This is an event that already took place with the Babylonian captivity. But it's amazing that, you know, these people, that they don't want this to be about God's, you know, or believers, people that believe in Jesus, they want it to be about Christ rejecting Jews. They say, well, the whole 7 years, the day of Jacob's trouble, don't you know? You're not Israel. Well, I am a Jew. Inwardly, I do have the circumcision of the heart, and I make up the Israel of God. I am part of that holy nation, a peculiar people, okay, as it's, as you know, Christ has spoken about us. So, you know, that's a stupid argument, okay? And it's pulling that passage completely out of context, which is about the Babylonians, okay? Now, please go to Daniel chapter 12. Go to Daniel chapter 12. And they'll say, well, you know, that final week, that final seven-year period, you know, that's for Daniel and his people, they'll say. And it is. When we looked at the passage in Daniel chapter 9, the prophecy was for Daniel and his people. Okay? Now again, who are Daniel's people? Are Daniel's people Christ rejecting Jews? Okay? That believe a false religion of Judaism? Is that Daniel's people? Okay? We'll look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Why is Michael mentioned here, by the way? Well, you may remember in Revelation chapter 12, we saw that Michael goes to war against the dragon. When did that take place? At the middle of the week, okay, the midst of the week. It says, and at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, Daniel's people. Wow, Daniel's going to stand up and defend the people of Daniel. Look at this, and there shall be a time of trouble. Ooh, a time of trouble, yeah, tribulation. Tribulation means trouble, a time of trouble. That lines up there. Okay, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Wow, Daniel's people are going to get delivered. Why? Because we know that Christ is coming in the clouds, amen? Okay, but notice, who are the people? It's defined for us in this verse. Thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So is it everyone that's a Jew? Is it everyone that rejects Jesus Christ and has a false religion of Judaism? Is that who gets delivered? No, everyone that shall be found written in the book. One more passage to turn to. Please go to Revelation 21, please. Revelation 21, verse number 27. Revelation 21, verse 27. We're fast forwarding to the future. We're fast forwarding to the time when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. This is after the tribulation, after God pours out his wrath, and after Christ rules for 1,000 years in his millennial kingdom, okay? But in Revelation 21, verse 27, God creates a new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, descends, okay? And then who's allowed to enter that new Jerusalem? It says in verse number 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. So no sinners are allowed there, okay? But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So who's allowed to enter into New Jerusalem? those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This book is the Lamb's Book of Life. It belongs to Jesus Christ. This book has the names of those that have believed on the Lamb that has taken away the sin of the world, those that have believed on Jesus Christ, those that have the testimony of Christ, those who are allowed to enter into that city. All right? So who are Daniel's people? As we saw there in Daniel 12:1, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Boy, if you've believed on Jesus Christ, whether you're Jew, whether you're Greek, whether you're Aussie, whether you're Chilean, whether you're Portuguese, whether you're New Zealander, whatever you are, brethren, you know, if your name is found written in the book of life, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you're going to enter that new heaven and that new earth. The great promise. You know, and we're going to have by then our new resurrected bodies. We're not going to sin. We're not going to be able to tell a lie, because at the rapture we receive the resurrection, the new resurrected bodies which cannot sin. Okay? So who are Daniel's people? Believers. Those that have believed on the Lamb. Those whose names are found written in the book. It's not about Christ rejecting Jews. All right? So brethren, I hope that answers some questions. You know, if you had any questions, again, this is a series on strange doctrines. And yes, to call the entire seven-year period the Great Tribulation, that is strange. You're going against Christ's own words. Again, what is the first 3.5 years? The beginning of sorrows. The abomination of desolation in the midst of the week. Then we have the little season. Whoops, days that shall be shortened. The Great Tribulation. The sun and moon are being darkened. Christ comes in the clouds. And then God pours out his wrath. Okay? And then at the end of those 7 years, Christ comes and establishes his millennial kingdom. Okay, let's pray.